Been on a journey from Easter to Pentecost. The first Pentecost following the resurrection and ascension of Jesus is the birth of the church. The events of that day are vividly described in Acts chapter 2 and reveal the purpose of Pentecost through the powerful images of wind, fire, and tongues.
Wind is descriptive of power. Fire is descriptive of purity. But it was not power for the sake of power, or purity for the sake of purity. It was power and purity given to do something. That purpose is revealed in the image of tongues. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability.
The last words Jesus said to his first disciples are known as the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. This comes to us from Matthew 28:19-20. But how were they going to do that? They did not have the power, courage, or passion for that assignment. They needed something they did not have to fulfill the missionary mandate given by Jesus. They needed a gift. And so Jesus gave them this promise: you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
It is interesting that in all three of these Pentecost images, there is reference to speaking or hearing. They heard the sound. They were given the gift of language to proclaim. Even the flames of fire looked like tongues. This is no accident. The church was born to give witness to the good news of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit gives the church a voice to share the gospel to every generation, even to the ends of the earth.
God does not pour out His Spirit to make us a holy huddle. God moves on His church to make us a mighty army. Pentecost gives us the passion to care, the power to speak, and the boldness to move out. Pentecost is what purifies us, sets our hearts on fire, and enables us to communicate the unquenchable love of God and the restoration of all things through Jesus, who is making all things new.
Not even a global pandemic can prevent the purpose of Pentecost from being fulfilled. Let us be a church on mission, empowered by the promise of the Father, purified by the sanctifying Spirit, and boldly proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Good morning, church. Welcome to Large NAS Online. We are so glad that you've joined with us this morning. This is Pentecost Sunday, and I've got my red t-shirt on because red is the liturgical color for today. It reminds us of the tongues like fire that descended on that exciting first Pentecost for the Christian church. And you know, there are exciting things happening at Large NAS these days too. Our brand new boiler and a new radiator upstairs have been installed. And if you came by the church this week, you probably noticed that huge hole in the side, the pavement outside. And that's because in the process of making the improvements inside, a blockage was discovered outside in the gas feed. But that's all taken care of now. And we appreciate so much the work of Richard Allen, and also Richard and Allen, and Janice and Jane this past week. Thank you for your continued assistance and energy and expertise. And thank you all again, all of you who supported and funded and prayed for these renovations. Our church building is going to be better than ever as we move out of the lockdown and once again make use of it as a place to gather. Now, a few weeks ago, we started gathering on Wednesdays at 10 a.m. for prayer, and it has been an incredible time of fellowship. For me, it's been a lot better than Zoom, that's for sure. Zoom was a nice substitute, but it's just a substitute, let's put it that way. But it's been a great time of fellowship, and we would love for you to join us on Wednesdays at 10 a.m. But please remember that space is still quite limited because we're required to socially distance by 2 meters in the church. So you'll need to let us know that you'd like to attend and we'll reserve a space for you. Now, we've also begun meeting in person for our second helping Bible study. And the next one is set for the 30th of this month. That's next Sunday at 6 p.m. And like the weekly prayer meeting, you'll need to reserve a seat. So let us know that you'll be joining us. Now, you can do that by giving us a call or a text or an email, and we'll continue to gather on Zoom for prayer and for second helping as well. So you're welcome to join us from the comfort of your own home in that way, if you'd like to. Now, our church board met this past Friday to discuss the way forward as far as other possibilities like Sunday worship. And it was decided that we'll reevaluate meeting for Sunday worship once the next batch of restrictions are lifted, but we'll postpone them for now. However, our building at 21 Aiken Street is not only a place of worship, it is also a registered and certified hospitality venue, and it can be used as either one of those, as a place of worship or as a hospitality venue. But with the current guidelines, the current restrictions, it can't be both at the same time. So as a hospitality venue, we have decided that the Largs Naz Community Cafe will begin serving a weekly set menu Sunday brunch on June 6th at 11 a.m. So you'll be able to reserve a table for up to 6 people from 3 households under the current guidelines. And just like at other cafes, you'll need to wear your face covering when you're not seated and adhere to 1 meter social distancing. Now, the brunch will take place beginning at 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. So you'll need to show up at 11, and we can have room for up to 28 diners. Now, it would also be helpful if when making your reservation, you know who the 3 households are at your table. But if not, we'll make the appropriate arrangements for you, and we can have smaller tables if available if we need them. And we'll let you know what's going to be on the menu, but I can tell you that the food will be amazing, and there will be coffee and tea for the low price of £4 per person. Now, to make your reservation, just call us at 0756-897-7311. Now, as we continue to worship together, we welcome you again to the Largs Naz online worship service, and we encourage you to join in as we spend some time with each other and with our Lord and Savior this morning. Let's pray together. Come, Holy Spirit, the wind of God, the breath of life, come, Holy Spirit, our advocate, our counselor. Come, Holy Spirit, teacher of wisdom, reminder of Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, granter of forgiveness, giver of peace. Come, Holy Spirit, may we feel God breathing through our worship. May we receive the Holy Spirit in this place. Amen.
I feel it in my bones, you're about to move. I feel it in the wind, you're about to ride in. You said that you would pour your spirit out. You said that you would fall on sons and daughters. So come. You would fall on sons and daughters. We're ready for you. So come and blow on through us. Spirit, move. What only you can do. So come and blow on through us. Spirit, move. We're ready for you.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is.
place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place.
Wherever we are this morning,
omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome.
And when you
changes what we see.
Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." This is the written word of God for the people of God.
Good morning, church. Today is Pentecost Sunday, a day when we celebrate the birthday of the church. So let's start again. Happy birthday, church! Today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost comes 50 days, 7 weeks after Easter. Pentecost means 50th day. It's hard to believe that it's been 7 weeks since we celebrated Easter, our second Easter in lockdown due to this pandemic that's kept us from being together for far too long. But things are beginning to change, and we are certainly excited about the future. Pentecost has its origin in the Jewish Feast of Weeks, 50 days after the second day of Passover, when the apostles, like many other Jews from all over the world, were in Jerusalem, having made a pilgrimage there. In the book we call Acts of the Apostles, Luke describes what happened in Jerusalem when the apostles were there sometime after the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. Now, our scripture this morning begins with Acts chapter 2. But let's look at the events that have led us up to where we begin today. Now, let's remember that Luke and Acts are sort of like one book in two parts, written by Luke. And as you may recall, Luke's gospel tells us all about Christ's life and Christ's ministry. Luke's narrative is structured in a very deliberate and logical way. There's lots of detail, specific times, specific places, and historical references. And he even tells the reader that in the very first verse, "I too decided after investigating everything carefully from the very first to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you have been instructed." Luke's primary concern is to inform the reader of who Jesus of Nazareth was and now who he is as the suffering, crucified Savior and the risen, exalted Lord. He takes us from the birth of Christ, well, even before the birth of Christ, through his life and ministry, and ends the gospel with the ascension. Then we see here, right at the start of Acts, Luke begins with an introduction and summary of the things he wrote about in the Gospel of Luke. He explains to Theophilus that in the first book, he wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day he was taken up to heaven. Only after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. Acts begins where the Gospel of Luke ends, with the ascension, and continues the story of what happens to Jesus' followers and the movement that became Christianity. The book of Acts begins just as the Gospel of Luke began, by addressing someone known as Theophilus. Now, just very quickly, I want to mention Theophilus. Lots of people, including John Wesley, have put forth theories about who he is, a Roman official, a member of the Alexandrian elite. John Wesley thought that. Paul's lawyer or a Jewish priest. But the truth is, nobody really knows who Theophilus was. But what we do know is the word Theophilus means friend of God or beloved by God. Either way, that's you. That's me. That's any reader who fits that description. And what I want to say about that is it's really helpful and important to understand the historical situation of Scripture as well as we can. Who wrote what and whom and why and what the historical situation was at the time. But the truth of Scripture doesn't lie solely in the historical situation way back there. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, Scripture speaks to each one of us in 2021, in our own situations, in our own language, much like the apostles spoke to the crowd at Pentecost in their own language. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let's look at today's Scripture. The apostles, they've prayed, they've cast lots, and they've replaced Judas with Matthias. So there's 12 of them again, and they're all together in one place, all waiting for the fulfillment of the promise of the Father, the promise from Jesus before his ascension that although John baptized with water, that they, the apostles, would be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Luke tells us that suddenly there's a sound, and he describes it like a rush of a violent wind. And perhaps Luke was referring back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, when the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep while a mighty wind swept over the face of the waters. Then again, in chapter 2, God breathes into Adam and he becomes a living being. You've probably heard all of these related words, ruach, the word for wind and breath and spirit in the Old Testament, and the word pneuma in the New Testament, the noun for breath and spirit. And there's the related verb neo, which is used here, that means to blow or to breathe. And what's blown or breathed here in our passage of scripture fills the house where they were sitting. Luke goes on to describe tongues like fire that rested on each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. The word Luke uses here is glossa, which means the tongue or a language or a nation, a people who speak the same language. Now remember those three separate meanings that the word glossa has: the actual tongue, the language, and the people of a nation as we move forward in the story, because Luke is using this word to foreshadow what happens next. Now this passage, it doesn't refer to speaking in tongues that's described in 1 Corinthians 14, but as the crowd pointed out, these were Galileans using their own tongue to speak the language of the hearers who came from many different tribes or nations. And there's all three of those meanings in the word glossa. The disciples used their physical tongues to speak the languages of people from many nations. This is why Luke is such a master of languages, because he does things like this. Last week, Pastor Steve and I, we took a little break. We spent a long weekend in our favorite city in the world, Glasgow. We stayed at a lovely hotel in the National Piping Center. It was located right in the heart of the Glasgow Shopping Center, just a stone's throw from the Buchanan Galleries and St. Enoch Square, right in the heart of the city. As you can imagine, especially after living in peaceful Largs for a couple of years, the sounds of Glasgow, the big city, were large and loud, almost deafening at times. Our hotel room looked out over Hope Street, and even with the windows closed up tight, we could still hear the sounds of traffic and sirens and people and the exciting hustle and bustle of the city. And as we meandered the cobblestone streets of the shopping center, just soaking in the sights and sounds, we could hear the beautiful diversity of languages and accents. A guy over there on his cell phone speaking Italian, two sisters from India giggling at their little brother, a young couple having lunch together at the cafe speaking a language I've never heard before. People from all over the globe living and thriving in the best city in the world. It's one of the things I love the most about Glasgow, the wonderful diversity of her people. People truly do make Glasgow. And although the diversity of languages and accents is a really beautiful thing, there's nothing quite as lovely as hearing the sound of a familiar voice or accent when you're in a crowd of strangers. Steve and I were having breakfast in the hotel one morning, and there was a couple sitting nearby, and as soon as one of them spoke to the other, Steve and I perked up and we both turned to each other and we said, that's a Southern accent. Then for the next few minutes, we kind of eavesdropped on their conversation, just enjoying the sound of their Southern drawl and the warm, fuzzy feeling of familiarity that it brought. I think that's how the crowd must have felt that day. Jerusalem was a big city, and you can imagine how busy it would have been with the influx of crowds, Jews from so many different tribes, multitudes of people from faraway lands. Parthians, Medes, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, visitors from Rome, Cretans and Arabs. This diverse crowd, overwhelmed, I'm sure, by the almost deafening sounds of the hustle and bustle of the big city. And then, through the noise, they hear a familiar sound. Our scripture tells us that as the disciples spoke, the crowd could hear each of them in their own languages as the apostles spoke about God's deeds of power. In other words, the apostles didn't expect the crowd to learn their language. Let me say that again. The apostles didn't expect the crowd to learn their language. And the Spirit didn't give the crowd the ability to understand the language of the apostles. But the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit gave them the ability to speak the languages of those around them. The Spirit gave them the ability to speak the languages of those around them. And the crowd of people were drawn by this familiar language that they'd heard. It made their hearts stop for a moment as they turned their ears to tune in more carefully to the words. This was the beginning of the building of a community. Walls were being replaced by bridges. And it began with those on the inside speaking the language of those on the outside. Now, of course, there were those on the outside who thought that the disciples were drunk. They weren't in their right minds. And that's a risk we face when we're truly led by the Spirit. And so there's a lesson for us today here, church. This pandemic and the restrictions we've faced over the last year have forced us to work outside of the church walls exclusively. It's forced us to gather together in this place, this virtual space, and to rely on the power of the Spirit to reach those who need to hear the truth of the gospel. This past year has forced us to speak our neighbor's language, to find innovative and creative ways to be the church, to spread the love and grace of Jesus Christ. And the Spirit has led us and will continue to lead us as we come back together in our buildings when we are once again all together in one place. My prayer today is that the Holy Spirit is poured out on us in a way that we can't be still and we can't be silent, even if people think we're not in our right minds. I pray that as we're open to the leading of the Spirit, we'll be empowered to communicate so that our words are so familiar to those around us that it draws them in to see the source of our joy and peace and power. Let's not hope to go back to the way things were. Let's not hope for normal church. But instead, let's be empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages other than our own, to build bridges instead of walls, to bring community where there has been conflict. Happy birthday, church.
And
Jesus, I belong to you.
Almighty God, for all of the ways you speak to us, in rushing wind, in dancing flames, in words we understand, and in ways that transcend language, we give thanks. Give us courage to speak your love everywhere we go and to everyone we meet. Amen.
Praise God from whom blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy. Praise Him.